Good morning, everyone. It is time for us to begin, and I must say it's good to see some of our regulars back. Glad you're here today, and we have a beautiful opportunity to come and to worship the Lord, and thank you for taking advantage of that. We want to begin this morning with any announcements. So, Deb? Thank you, Deb. We appreciate that. And we as a congregation care, and we want to show our caring in these ways. And so thank you for your support and giving in those areas. Any other announcements? Bob, do you have one?
I got a prayer, some prayer concerns, not
now. Okay. We'll come back to you. Let's begin our worship with this prelude. Jerry? Thank you, brother. That reminds us that yesterday was 9/11, the 20th anniversary already. Two decades have passed, and so we want to continue to remember as we celebrate Patriot Day. The words for our call to worship today come from Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Would you pray with me, please? Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for a beautiful Lord's Day. We thank you for an opportunity to come into your house and to worship you. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to do that, to worship you in spirit and truth. We pray, Father, that you might bless, help us lift up the word of Christ and to be drawn closer to you and to your word and to one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's begin here with our first hymn, and it's number 2. May be seated. Now we come to a time of sharing together our prayers and concerns and joys. And so what is on your heart today that you'd like to share with the community of faith? Bob?
Deb and Ralph's son, Josh, has come in from Tennessee and was here for a short visit, but it's always great to have him and the girls in our presence. So. And we just pray that his trip in and his trip home now on the road will be blessed with safety and security.
Amen.
Also, Jerry, he's got a bad knee, you know that, but now he's got sciatic problems. So pray for him with his hips and legs. And our son, Larry, he got a favorable report from Hopkins this past week on his situation. And we're thankful for that. That don't take care of the thing, but it's a favorable report. Alan Baker, our brother Steve over here that's had so much daggone back trouble. Brother, I understand. And myself. I don't know. Tough to cope with. this church, for its ministry. And then again, on October the 10th, Tracy will be with his family and maybe be out of town that day on Sunday. And Dylan Reinhardt will be here with us. If you remember him from back when Tracy was on his sabbatical. And then glad to see Bradley back here. He said his endeavor took him 700 miles one way.
Wonderful.
And
welcome back.
And Tammy, Nelson, and Tina, and of course Debbie Ayers is still having a few problems.
Thank you. Others that you'd like to add to the list, Steve?
And I would just like to thank everyone for the cards and the prayers and the concerns and the meals and the phone calls on my behalf. I really appreciated that.
Praise God.
I'd like to keep our daughter, her family in prayer. They were down in Outer Banks last week, and I think they'll be hitting one for today. I think they've had pretty nice weather and so forth, but we pray, Father, that they'll have a safe trip home. And we want to keep all those folks in mind that experienced the 9/11 for the old families that still exist. Keep them in our prayers, because I'm sure that was a devastating effect on their life. And we want to also keep the world in our prayers, because things have really seemed to fall apart here lately, and I hope and pray God is merciful enough to keep us in building.
Thank you. Prayers for our country. Deb?
I just want to give thanks. I have many on my prayer list, but I've seen some healings. I had mentioned Elaine Brown. She is improving. She's still got a long way to go to rebound from when she had COVID, but she is improving. There's a former co-worker that her husband is battling COVID. So if you would just say Deb's co-worker. He is making small steps also, but we need your prayers. And Ronnie, we need to keep Ronnie in our prayers. And so many that are battling cancer. I mean, they say COVID's so bad, but we've had cancer with us many, 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 many years, and we still, our family and loved ones are battling cancer, so keep them. And our school children. We have no idea what our young people, our children, grandchildren go through on any given day in school. So let's just keep our children in prayer.
Thank you. Nancy?
I just wanted to say it's nice to see one of Francis back, and Faye and Steve, they've both been out for quite a while, and I think Faye and Steve have an anniversary.
Yeah, I believe that's right, yes. Yeah. Congratulations, and it is good to see everyone. Doris? Okay, Traveling Mercies for them as well. Okay. Any others?
Tracy, I enjoy that our nation did not come under attack yesterday after 20 years. That's a joy. Just my list. God knows who they are. So I'd like to keep that list on the prayer.
Tracy, I forgot we also have a son and daughter-in-law and grandchildren and great-grandchild to go to Florida for a week of vacation with their son, and they're also taking in Disney World this week, so they'll be there constantly, I'm sure, almost all week.
Lord, travel mercies. Reflecting on yesterday, we received a Facebook message from Laura Linton, and her brother Alan was in the towers that came down, and she had mentioned that they had talked after the first plane hit one of the towers, he had called and they had talked, and she said, little did we know that would be the last that we talked to him. And so the Lentons from the Frederick Church of the Brethren experienced that firsthand. And the shelter in Frederick, they was named after their son, Alan Linton. And so we want to keep the Linton family in our prayers this weekend. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. You may kneel or remain seated. Father God in heaven, we approach you today with many mixed emotions in our hearts, and we just are grateful, Lord, for the many blessings that you've given to us, and we're mindful of a land in which we live that has allowed us so many opportunities and blessings, and we just are mindful of those in need, Lord, and we are lifting them up before you today. God, we pray that you might move on this 20th anniversary of 9/11. We thank you, Lord, for those who have given their lives in service, for the front line workers, for the firemen, for all who carry out their tasks, sometimes in very dangerous situations. And we want to just pray that you would bless their families, meet the needs, Lord, we pray. We ask, Lord, you would continue to bring down the infection rate here with COVID, and that you would help those who are sick get well. And we pray you would comfort those who have lost loved ones. We think of the tremendous disasters that are taking place in our country, the fires out west, and storms and flash flooding, and the recovery of the earthquake in Haiti. We think of so much turmoil that's going on around our world, Myanmar's civil war, so many places, Lord, need your hand and your touch. And so we just pray, Father, for your blessings. We ask, Lord, that you might move, and we pray that the Prince of Peace would come. We are mindful, Lord, of the privileges that we have to travel here and there to see family and enjoy vacations, and so we just ask, Father, for your grace, your angels to surround the vehicles and the planes, Lord, as we go here and there. Pray that people would be able to return home safely. We pray, Father, for your continued blessing of health. And so we know what a blessing it is to wake up in the morning and to be healthy. And so, Lord, we just ask you might meet the needs of those who are in pain, those that are experiencing various symptoms. We pray for wisdom for the doctors. We pray, Father, for your grace in each one's life. And so, Lord, would you bless the names that have been mentioned here this morning? We also think of Sister Dolores, that's not here with us today. Meet her needs, Lord, we pray. She grieves the loss of her son. We pray, Father, that you would just continue to move in Michelle's life as she continues to live life without Larry. We pray, Father, that you would help those who are experiencing difficulties. We have so many concerns, Lord, so we just want to lift up the folks who are on our list, those that are battling cancer, those that are recovering from surgeries. Lord, would you move in a mighty way in each life? Father, we pray that you'd be with our shut-ins. I think of Aunt Laura. We think of Betty Shuff, David Philpott, and others, Lord, friends of the congregation. Would you help them as they experience life limited and behind closed doors. We pray, Father, for our country. You said we should lift up our leaders and pray for them. And so we pray for our president and his cabinet and his advisors. Lord, would you help them to see your word? We pray, Father, for the peace of Jerusalem. Be with countries that are in need right now, like Afghanistan. We thank you, Lord, for those who are serving. We pray you hedge protection around them. So be with Elijah Moser and Kayla Peters and others that are serving. We pray for our local leaders, Lord, our governors, our mayors. We think of our pastors and our district and denomination. We think of our deacons, all who have taken positions of authority. We ask, Lord, you might help them in making wise decisions, that we might live lives that are peaceable, and that our congregations might thrive. Lord, I think of our missionaries, those that are overseas. I think of pastors that are serving in very difficult situations with COVID lockdown and with communism and all that they have to deal with. Lord, it's sometimes not safe to name the name of Christ, not safe to gather. And so would you bless those pastors that are reaching out in your name. We think of the missionaries here at home, Lord, and especially those that are reaching out to our young people. So I pray that you would bless Lois Ann Glessner and Joyelle. I pray that you would bless the Youth for Christ and Young Life here in Frederick County. We pray, Lord, that you would reach the needs and meet the needs of those that are widowed and orphaned. We pray your blessing on Brother Dylan as he prepares to come and share on October the 10th. Lord, there are other names that we want to lift up, other people that you've put on our hearts. We do that now. Bless each one, Lord, we pray. Teach us how to pray as the Lord taught his disciples how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We'll invite you to turn to our hymn. It is number 211. Would you join me in standing?
Shelter in a time of
Amen. Well, the scripture for today chosen is James 3, verses 1 through 12. You can follow along with your bulletin. My brother, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a force a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defies the whole body. It sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and the creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brother, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brother, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we pause in your presence to ask that the words of my mouth now and the meditations of our hearts and our minds indeed would be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. And so, Holy Spirit, would you open our ears and help us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a, excuse me. That's right. I'm okay now. Thank you. Once a time there was a donkey, and the donkey was kind of complaining, being a burden of beast. He was often used for menial work, and didn't think anyone really took very seriously of him, and was kind of down on himself. And as he was going about his day's business, he came across a lion's skin, and at first he was scared of it, thinking it was a lion, and then realized that it was just the skin. And so playfully he put it on. And as he was strutting around with his lion skin on, suddenly a rabbit saw him, and the rabbit was frightened and ran away. And the donkey thought, wow, they must have thought I was a lion. And so he began to walk around a little bit more proud, and other animals saw him and ran off. And he frightened them away. He was thinking, they must think I'm the king of the forest. And a fox came along, and the donkey tried to scare him. And so he yelled out a loud voice, cry, rawr. And the fox said to the donkey, he said, if you want to terrify me, he said, you'll have to disguise your bray. This was a moral or story that Aesop's told many years ago. And the moral is that the clothes may disguise a fool, but his words will give him away. So our voice, our tongue, oftentimes cannot be disguised. Do your words sometimes give you away? You know, we often say that we love one another, and we should, but sometimes in a moment of anger, sometimes in out of bitterness, sometimes we say things before we think, words come out of our mouths that we wish we could take back. Unloving words unkind words, sometimes even cursing words. In our scripture for today, James writes about the power of the word and the need to tame the tongue. Compares our mouths to horses and bridles, to ships with rudders, and to springs that bring forth bitter or sweet water. And James says that with it we bless our God, our Father, and with that same tongue we curse men who were made in his image. Our words should not be a dichotomy. Growing up, I've heard lots of words. I've spoken lots of words. And nothing really too much surprises me. I have pretty much heard a lot of different kinds of words. And one of the things that I remember growing up was my parents used to always say, bite your tongue. And at first I thought, well, you know, that hurts when I do that. Bite my tongue, it meant that we should be careful about what we say. In today's culture, it seems that if you're loud, abusive, and rude, that's acceptable. People think that they can say almost anything and that it's covered by the First Amendment. Remember years ago, TV, back in the 60s and 70s, when I began watching, it seemed like that if someone said a bad word, that TV show could be possibly canceled. Networks came down hard on someone who cursed on TV. And then we move fast forward into the digital age, and so much that is shared on social media is very rude. It is downright not able to say in public. And yet, somehow we think if we just text it, if it's just in print, that it's okay. Years ago, I came across this track. It's a sermon by Leonard Ravenhill called The Taming of the Tongue. And I just love the artwork in it. And so I made a couple of copies. I'm going to pass these back, if you would, just pass them through the audience. I'm a visual learner, and I just love the artwork here in this track, and it talks about the tongue. And it shows here, so you'll get a chance to see that, along with Leonard Ravenhill, he was an evangelist in England years ago, and they put some cartoon pictures here along with this track that talks about taming the tongue. And he pictures, if you will, the taming of the tongue is a circus lion. The guy with the chair and the whip, and he's trying to make the lion do what he's commanded to do, or like a wild horse. Wild horse, it takes a while to break a horse to be able to ride it and to make it to obey and to pull a stagecoach. And so in these ways, the tongue is oftentimes uncontrollable and needs to be tamed. So I'd like for us to consider today a little bit about the tongue and the words that we sometimes speak and the words that sometimes that we are hurt by, because words can cause verbal wounds. Here's a couple of quotes that I came across as I was preparing for the lesson today, and I thought these were important to share. It's one that says that the tongue is but 3 inches long, but it can kill a man 6 feet tall. Tongues have no bones, but is strong enough to break a heart, so be careful with your words. A tongue is the only tool that gets sharper with use. The tongue has the power of life and death. That's Proverbs. The tongue is like a sharp knife, kills without drawing blood. The tongue is like a lion. If you let it loose, it will wound someone. And before the tongue can speak, we must have lost the power of the wound. And finally, this good advice here says the words of the tongue should have 3 gatekeepers. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? One of the most inaccurate statements and rhymes that we probably recited when we were kids was, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That is really untrue, isn't it? We probably have said that at the playground, or we may have said it to some of our friends, but we have been hurt by wounds, wounded by words. Words can hurt. And they can leave deep wounds and destructive infections in our souls if improperly cared for. Will bring about painful spiritual and physical death. We're told that women speak more than men in terms of word count. It's said that up to 20,000 words a day. Some people think that men speak about 7,000 to 10,000 words and women 15,000 to 20,000. One survey that I found said that men speak 15,669 words and women 16,215 words a day. That's just a little over. So if you think about that, we tend to speak a lot of words. And if you're a preacher, you even speak more words. So we all have lots of words to account for. But regardless of the number of words, words are powerful. Words can wound us. Words can sometimes hurt someone close to us. And sometimes we can be hurt by words. They might be said by those who are closest to us, like a spouse or a family member, or they can be from an enemy. Words can hurt sometimes spoken at a family reunion, at the workplace, or really any place. And if we're hurt, it's really important how we handle that. How we handle the wound is very critical. The need to properly identify the type of wound is important. It's just as important as identifying the difference between a snake bite and a knife cut. And so each one has its own treatment, and if not quickly applied, can result in serious consequences. There are at least five different types of verbal wounds that we find in the scriptures, and if you might want to take your bulletin and write down these couple, these five very important ones, and to be able to diagnose them for yourself or for someone else. But the first one is cutting words. And cutting words come from trusted friends. David said, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of the God in company. The word of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords." And so David experienced some cutting words from friends that he trusted. The second one is piercing words. Piercing words come from an ambush. Again, David said, "Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongues like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot like their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him, and fear not." And so piercing words often comes from an ambush. And then there are biting words. Biting words. And these often come from a known enemy. David prayed, "Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their hearts. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips." The fourth type of verbal wound is poisoning words. Poisoning. And they come from the contaminated words that we choose to accept from bitter people or from talebearers or from false teachers. Poisoning words can contaminate. And we choose then to accept them or take them in. And then the fifth one is burning words. Burning words, which come from destructive words that we choose to speak. The tongue is like a fire, a world of iniquity, James says. And so the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell itself. Years ago, I learned about these five types of verbal wounds in a pastor seminar, and I wanted to share with you a little bit more about them and the treatment and how we should go about them, because sometimes we are hurt by things that people say. And so when that happens, how do you handle it? What do you say? What do you do? Are you hurt by those words? And do you let them fester and become bitterness? Who could you help get over something that's been said? So many times, feuds and people not speaking to one another is because of something that someone said. And so what a blessing would be to be a peacemaker and to be able to bring about peace in the family and between one another over allowing, getting over some of these words that have been spoken. And so it's important for us to recognize when someone is wounded that there is a shock that takes place at first. When someone's injured, oftentimes in an accident or in a fire, there's often a kind of the person's dazed a little bit. We say they're in shock. And so it's important to keep that person quiet and calm. It's important to stay with that patient and give them encouragement. It's important to protect them from further shock and get them help, relieve some of the pain, and give them verbal assurances. And so it's very important for us to do the same when a person's injured with words. It's been said that the Bible emphasizes control of the tongue as a matter of great importance. The books of Proverbs and Psalms abound in cautions about speech. And so we find here in James, in the book of James, five chapters, in each of these chapters he speaks about the tongue and the importance of controlling or taming the tongue. And so these are very significant for us today. You know, it's, I think, very important for us to think about some of the things that we've heard and said. And so we wanted to take a look at these and see if you can figure out which one is which. Let me share with you a little bit of what's been said in the Bible and see if you can decide which kind of a hurt or which kind of a verbal wound it is. Someone once said, let's see here. This is a summary. He reports that you and those you're working with are planning to rebel and set up your own state. People say that you want to be the new leader and that you have appointed your friends to campaign for you. You can be assured that I'm going to pass this information on to the proper authorities. You probably think that I'm against you, but I'm really concerned about you, and I believe we had better sit down and talk. These were a summary or a paraphrase of the life of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was trying to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, but one of the men thought that he was needed to stop Nehemiah's efforts. These words were biting words. Biting words. They were filled with deadly venom, and they had a motive behind them. They were designed to cast suspicion on Nehemiah and kind of point him in the light of being a self-serving dictator. He was simply trying to use the people around him to achieve his own personal ambitions. And so the speaker of these words were giving bitter and biting words. In this situation, if a person receives biting words, they should first of all determine like it was a snake bite. And so when it comes to a snake bite, it's important to identify the kind of snake it was, whether it was poisonous, and so whether it had two fangs. And oftentimes, these are the fangs of bitterness and rebellion. And so we have to act very quickly when it comes to a snake bite. Snake bites are venomous, and so we have to expose the bite and cut it and to draw out the venom from that. Nehemiah did this by immediately replying to his accuser. He said, there is no such things done as thou sayest, but thou invented them in their own heart. So it was virtually important for Nehemiah to neutralize these poisonous words so he could get his work done and get the wall built. And so if he didn't, it would be like an infection that continued to spread throughout the people, and they wouldn't have been able to accomplish the work of God. For they all made us afraid. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands, was Nehemiah's prayer. How about these words? What kind of words are these? We have decided that you're not entitled to any inheritance in our family because of the fact that you were born out of wedlock. These are cutting words. They were spoken by Jephthah, by his brothers, and they cut deeply oftentimes to those that hear them. Jephthah was the son of Gilead, and he was one of the judges of Israel. And so these hurt him very deeply. And so when we receive a cutting word, it's important that we take these kinds of steps. First of all, we need to immediately stop the bleeding. This is done by applying pressure, sometimes putting a tourniquet above the wound to get the bleeding to stop. A person who's been cut deeply by words needs to have the closest contact of a friend who will give him or her reassurance. After the bleeding stops, cleansing of the impurities from the cut is very important. For a victim of this wound, cutting words needs to be cleansed by the word of the word of God. We need to speak the word over the wound. And we need to cleanse and keep on cleansing and repeating that and changing the dressing. And so the best way is to direct the victim into the Psalms each morning. You know, Psalms are very helpful in cleansing and getting out the impurities in our life. We have to recognize that the danger of any kind of a cut oftentimes is that the surface will heal first and then the infection will come underneath the healing. And so it's important for us to redress and not allow it to blister. And sometimes we allow bitterness to fester, oftentimes for years under the surface. In Judges it says, did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? This was his reaction many years later. So the initial result of the deep cut is not pain but shock. And the person needs to realize that a longer time is required in order to heal. And during that time there will be sometimes pain. And even after the healing, the former one, the former wound will be sensitive to the touch. Here's another type of verbal wound. See if you can determine what this is. You're a wicked person. The Lord is paying you back for all the evil that you have done to other people. At last, you're getting a taste of your own medicine. You deserve everything that's coming to you. Well, these are piercing words. And this is a paraphrase of the cursing that a man gave to David as he was fleeing Absalom. This man followed David around, and he was shouting from the roadside and publicly revealing and rebelling against David. And he was saying that all the things that bad things were happening to David, he deserved. And so David's reaction was to let him curse. The other guys wanted to run him in with a sword. And David said, no, that's okay, let him curse. And so the treatment here for a piercing wound, unlike a treatment for a deep cut, the bleeding of a puncture should be encouraged in order to wash out the wound. And so here David lets his men hold off there, let him curse, let him get it out. Let him say what the Lord's put on his heart. It might be important for us to hear. And so the cleansing of the wound here comes then with soap and water. And a puncture contains more bacteria and impurities and poses a greater danger of infection than a cut. And so the victim must receive additional cleansing with the soap and water for the ultimate healing to take place. David said, let him curse because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, and the Lord will repay me good for his cursing this day. The victim of a puncture wound needs to be ministered to by those who understand how to treat him. And then, how about this one? Maybe you can determine which this one comes from. What type of wound is this? We believe that you're presumptuous in being over us. You're no better than anyone else. What right do you have to put yourself above us and demand that all of us must obey you? You act like you're better than anyone else. We're all equal in the Lord's sight. These are burning words. These were words that were spoken by Korah and others who rebelled against Moses. From Moses' perspective, they were piercing words, but from the speaker's perspective, they're burning words. They're were evil words that were spoken against Moses and against those in authority. God vividly illustrated this by sending down fire and burning up the men who spoke these words. And so when we have a burn, that type of a wound, it's important that we get different types of treatment. The burn victim must be taken immediately to a special burn care unit. In this area, often people are flown down to Baltimore. Moses separated the men from the rest of the congregation that year. Just as churches are instructed to separate revilers from their fellowship so that they might be ashamed and come to repentance. It used to be that brethren did shun, as some groups, some Mennonite and Amish groups shun even today. The purpose is to bring them to repentance and bring them back into the fold. A burn victim may experience excruciating pain and can only find relief by immersing the burn in warm water. Those that treat the victim must constantly use the word of God to remind them that their fight is with God and not with people. And the burn needs to be continually redressed and disinfected. Those working with the speaker of burning words must be patient and diligent to see that infection does not set in. And then finally hear these words. Look at how cruel our leader is. He has ruthlessly gotten rid of everyone who disagrees with him. He's responsible for the tragedies that happened in their lives. This is no way to show Christian love. These are poisoning words. They were spoken by the children of Israel against the judges. The words that have burned leaders were accepted by many people, and these words became poisoning words. The treatment for poisoning is that immediately needs to be diluted with large amounts of water. It's important to try to get the poison diluted. Those that have been poisoned need to have listened to the contaminating words of others, need to dilute them with the truth of God's word. Speed in removing and diluting the poison is critical. Time is of essence. One who has taken in poisonous words must be immediately dealt with by the truth. The excellent treatment for those who have been poisoned is to saturate their minds with scripture relating to judging and the danger of the tongue. And so it's very important for us to continue to be diligent in how we accept and how we treat wounds. The tongue contains the power of good and evil, of life and death, as Proverbs says. However, praises and curses should not come out of the same mouth. As James says, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. It causes me to cringe when I hear somebody say, I hope you go to H. I won't complete the whole word. For me, it's like you have no idea what you're saying. Remember, God created the world by speaking it into being. And what an awful, terrible thing to say to someone. You know, we're all guilty sometimes of allowing our tongues to become unruly. And so it's important for us to have self-control. Gossip, slander, and rudeness should not be a trait of a disciple of Jesus Christ. I think of often of the movie The Wizard of Oz, and I'm sure you've seen that before. But remember the scene when Annie M is talking to Almira Gouch. She's come to claim little Toto. She wants to take him away, and Dorothy's upset. And they say, "Well, you know, I could bring a lawsuit against you and bring down your whole farm." And Annie M speaks up, and she says, "Almira Gouch," she said, "just because you own half the county doesn't mean you have the power to run the rest of us. For 23 years, I've been dying to tell you just what I thought of you, and now, well, being a Christian woman, I can't say it." She bit her tongue, didn't she? And she held her tongue in the very difficult circumstance. She didn't say words that could have come back and hurt her. The poem says, "Many a blunt word has a sharp edge. Keep your words soft and sweet. You never know which ones you'll have to eat." And so as Christians, we must strive to avoid careless speech. To scriptures, James says to be slow to speak, to quick to hear, to be responsible in our talk, so not to inflict verbal wounds intentionally and unintentionally. I've been in a number of meetings at church, and sometimes church board can be the worst place for people oftentimes say what's in their heart. There's a children's poem that says, "A wise old owl lived in an oak. The more he heard, the less he spoke. The less he spoke, the more he heard. Why can't we all be like this wise old bird?" And so how about you? What can you do when someone says something, or when you're hurt by something that's said? I think the first thing to ask God to help, "God, would you control this? Is uncontrollable. Would you tame this tongue? Would you control these lips so not to inflict any verbal wounds on others, intentionally or unintentionally?" Proverbs says, and one says that, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my lips, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Keep watch, Lord, over the door of my lips." And secondly, we can ask God to help us to correctly respond to those who have been suffering, maybe because of a verbal wound, to ask the Holy Spirit for his help. He is our comforter. There's a poem that says, "If your lips will keep from slips, five things observe with care. To whom you speak, of whom you speak, and how and when and where." Wrong words can wound. It's maybe more accurate if we said the childhood rhyme like this. Maybe we should say, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, and words can hurt me." You've probably been hurt by something someone said sometime in your life. And so how we treat that wound is very critical. But most of all, and the simplest thing I can say, is to forgive. To, as we say, let it go in one ear and out the other. Hard to do, but the best for you. To forgive, to not allow that to fester and to become bitterness. Because when it develops into bitterness, then it inflicts and harms so many around us. It hurts us, it hurts our families. It hurts those that live with us and those that are around us if we let bitterness set in. And so I would encourage you to think about these five types of verbal wounds. Watch for shock. Identify that and cleanse the wound. And use the Word of God. You know, Psalms and Proverbs are an excellent place to read and to meditate in. Try to prevent the spread of disease. You know, we are one body. Excuse me. We are connected to one another. And so what affects one person affects the whole body. And so it's important for us to be careful with our words. To experience the healing of God, by helping one another. Forgiveness and reconciliation can take place, and we can enjoy sweet fellowship. A poem says that no man can tame the wicked tongue, no man his soul can save, only God can cleanse the heart and make the tongue behave. And so the next time when you feel like saying something that's hurtful or ugly, remember the adage, bite your tongue. Bite your tongue and allow the healing to come that only God can give. Would you pray with me, please? Father God in heaven, you are holy, and you spoke the word into being, and we are amazed at the power of the word. The word of God, as David Jeremiah shared today, the Bible is so important in our lives. And so we come to you in the name of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, your Son, and we ask, Lord, that you might move in a mighty way. Thank you for giving us your word that soothes our wounds. Forgive us for inflicting verbal wounds on others at times, maybe losing our tempers or saying the wrong thing. God, we pray that you'd help us to be encouraging. Help us to speak words of blessing and praise in life. And I pray that you bring forgiveness and reconciliation where needed. And so, God, would you bridle our tongues like a wild horse in a saddle? Would you help this ship to be steered in the right direction by the rudder of your Holy Spirit? Control, take control, and help us to exercise self-control over our speech by the power of your Holy Spirit within us. Lord, tame the tongue, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll close our service by standing and sharing together hymn number 62.
But now the
And now, brothers and sisters, may the grace of God, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord give you health. The Lord bless you. Meet your needs this week, we pray. In his name, amen.
Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Go in peace.